much. I appreciate this congregation from the very bottom of my heart. This eldership, the past eldership, the deacons, the members, I appreciate you so very much. I was thinking a moment ago as I was sitting there how things have changed to some degree. Now, not doctrinally, not being sound in the faith, but I look out across the audience and I miss certain faces that encouraged us down through the years that have gone to their reward, and we appreciate them and what they meant to us and to the work of this congregation. But I do appreciate you so very much, and I'm glad that we're here tonight to study the subject, Churches Which Leave Their First Love. We'll be looking in Revelation chapter 2. Again, the idea that we're going to be discussing tonight is churches which leave their first love. And let me say this before we get into our study tonight. I don't know how to explain what I feel tonight, because I feel as if there is a great weight that is pressing upon the church today. Because in every corner we are seeing congregations leave their first love. Time and time again, we have seen congregations that stepped away from the place they ought to be. And what is so frightening to me, as Jack mentioned a moment ago, my four grandsons, I want so very desperately to have congregations that they can be associated with the like to which I have been associated with in my lifetime. And I know if it's going to come to pass, it will be because we today determine that we are going to stand four square upon the gospel of Jesus Christ and be unswerving in our defense of the gospel. And in defending the gospel, my brethren, we cannot miss defending the body of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 4, the Bible says there is one body. That body is defined as being the church in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 and verse number 24, again it speaks of that body being the church. And then in Ephesians 5, verse 23, it tells us how important the church is. The Bible there says He is the Savior of the body. The book of Revelation is broken down into 22 chapters. The first chapter deals with the penman, introduces to us the penman, John. It also tells us by what authority John is writing Jesus Christ. And chapter 2 and chapter 3 is dealing with those seven churches to which this letter is written. But my brethren, there is a line. There is a thread that goes from the very first chapter, the very first verse, until the very last chapter, the very last verse, and it deals with a battle that the church, Christians, are involved in. But he says to us there is a victory if we maintain our faithfulness. Revelation 2, verse number 10, the Bible there says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life." The church ought to be held in the highest esteem. There is not one thing, a single thing on this side of eternity that ought to be more important to us than the church of Jesus Christ. In chapter 2 and 3, addressing those seven churches in Asia, there are two that are acceptable to God and five which are not. In that we see some things that are taking place at this time frame during the trials and tribulation of the church. And John is saying, you keep on standing. You keep on doing that which God would have you do, that the church might prevail. So as we look at our text, look with me beginning in verse number 1 of chapter 2, and we're going to read those seven verses, because herein lies the text which has been assigned to us. The Bible here says, "Under the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Think about this. Here is the church at Ephesus. John is writing to them, and John is saying to them, there are things you have done, well and good and proper. But he says, I have something against you. You've left your first love. Go back over to Ephesians with me for a moment. In Ephesians chapter 2, I want you to see what Paul says about the church at Ephesus. And then you look at the contrast between what Paul said and now what John is saying in Revelation. What did Paul say in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1? "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Look at what he says there in verse number 1. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sin." They were once dead to sin, Paul said, but you have been made alive, or you have now been made free from sin. Look at Paul's description there of the church at Ephesus. They had come out of sin. They had obeyed the gospel, and they were walking and doing those things that they could and should. Even if you go down further in that same chapter, he talks about the works that had been before ordained of God, that ye should walk in them, showing them the things they were to be doing and the things they were doing. And then we come back to our text. And he says, "I have something against you, because you've left your first love." Brethren, can you think of a more destitute or sad description of a congregation than to say they have left their first love? And that's what he's saying. It was a time of persecution. Verse 9 of chapter 1. The Bible there says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. Where was John? On the Isle of Patmos. Exiled because of his love for truth. And now he is writing to these. And he's saying to them, there is a need for examination. And brethren, I believe with all of my heart today, the church needs to back up and examine themselves whether they be in the faith. I believe it's time. I believe it's past time for us to begin to love the church the way God intended for us to love the church. How much more could God have done than to send His Son to this earth to die for us? Acts 20 and verse number 28, the Bible there says that the church was purchased with His own blood. Do you think the Lord loves the church? And the church ought to love the Lord. And we ought to love the church. We ought to love the Lord. And make sure that our lives are according to the pattern we find in the New Testament. Individuals need to examine themselves, and congregations need to examine themselves. In our lesson this evening, we're going to have 4 points in our lesson, in this study, We're going to look, first of all, at the praise that was given. Number two, we're going to look at the problem that is stated. And number three, we're going to ask the question, notice ways in which congregations leave their first love. And then in the fourth place, we're going to look at the solution. So let's begin our lesson by looking, first of all, at the praise given to them. Look at verse number 1 in our reading. When he says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the golden candlestick, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted." Notice what he says there. Here is the praise that is given to them. Given to them because they are working. They are doing things. They're involved. He says there's the works there in verse number 2. There is that patience or the steadfastness. He says you have tried them that say they're apostles, and they're not, but they're liars. Look at what he's saying. Look at the praise that he's giving to the church there. When he talks about the angel in verse number 1, verse number 20 of chapter 1 tells us that is the messenger, one who is there, who is teaching and preaching in that congregation. And then you come to the church, and we understand about the church as we defined a moment ago as being the body of Christ. And then it says at the end of that, it talks about the one who holds the seven golden candlesticks. If you look back to verse 20 of chapter 1, you'll find there he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he begins to talk about the things that they are doing, those things that are good. Look at verse number 2. He says, "I know thy works." It was not a guessing game with our Lord. He knew exactly. He says, "I know your works, your labor of patience, your steadfastness," he said. You know, we begin to look at those things. He says you cannot bear those that are evil. They couldn't tolerate. They could not endure those that were evil. He goes on to say there that they have tested the false teachers who claim to be something that they're not. I want you to keep that in mind. My brethren, today we need to be testing the teachers. We need to be testing the things that are coming out and going through this brotherhood to see if it is indeed truly the Word of God. The Bible tells us that's a responsibility that we have. In 1 John chapter 4, in verse number 1, the Bible there says, "Believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they be of God." That's our responsibility. It hurts no gospel preacher's feelings for you to open your Bible and look and see if what he's saying is so. He's saying to them, that's what you're doing. Also, he says there in verse number 6 how that they hate the Nicolaitans. Those were people who were apostate, and some feel that they were apostate from the church at Antioch. But the point is, they were those people that were characterized by their sensual nature, by their feast, their idol feast worship, and by their unchastity. He says you can't tolerate them. Now let's back up and look at what he's saying. What's he said? He said, you're doing things. You're involved. You're testing those people to see if they are truly what they say they are. So there is that praise. They didn't fellowship error. They did not were not deceived by error. They did not practice error. To others, they might have seemed to be the perfect congregation. God said, "I know." Christ said, "I know what you're doing." And that's the praise that he gives to them. He talks about those things. But remember, the Lord knows everything. Remember, as they go about their daily fare of doing particular things in the work of the chart. Now listen carefully. The Lord knew their heart. Brethren, we can go through motions and still not be pleasing in the sight of God. We can be working and doing things that people see and our hearts still be removed from the Lord. That's what he says. That's what he's talking about. Here is what you're doing. The praise to them. Let's go to the problem. Let's talk about the problem. What is the problem with them? Look at verse number 4. Nevertheless, you ought to have that word underlined somehow. Here's enumerations of things that you're doing. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And somebody said, well, how is it that they've left their first love when they're doing all these things that he give praise for? Because their heart was not in it. They were not doing things because of their love. They were going through motions. Look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And you know what we're going to read. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he begins by saying, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, and have not charity or love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Why? Because I'm not doing it for the right reason. Congregations can be involved in things and still have left their first love. And sometimes we don't understand that. Sometimes that does not stand out in our minds. Back to our text where it says there in verse number 4, you have left thy first love. Now the word there, first, is the word which means foremost in time, place, order, importance, best or chief. The main thing. We can do these particular things, but if we're not doing it because our love for God, we are not pleasing in the sight of God. How many times have you heard people talk about, well, we're doing a lot of evangelism. We've got a building full. But how did they fill the building? By the authority that's found in the New Testament? Or was it through their gimmicks and gadgets and games and funds? You can do things, but if it's not because you love the Lord and the Word of the Lord and the Church of the Lord, it's not for the right reason. You know, love is something that's demonstrated. God demonstrated His love in John 3, verse 16. We must demonstrate our love for Him. John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Also, you think about the idea where He says, you've let go, you've left alone, you have disregarded the church. What are you doing? You're going through motions. Oh, I never forsake the assembly of the saints. I'm always here Sunday morning. I'm here on Sunday night, and I'm here on Wednesday night. But why am I here? Do I love the Lord? Do I love the church? Brethren, I am of the opinion that if we love the church the way we ought to love the church, there would never be a thought in our mind of forsaking the assembling of the saints. Never would be. And when the church came together to go out and do evangelism in the community, it never would be. I don't want to do that. What's the point? Well, I'm going through motions. But do I really love the Lord? Do I really love the church? When I'm just going through the motions? And that's exactly what he's talking about in this. The Lord looked upon their hearts. He could see what they had been and the reason they were performing those things, and he can see where they are now and understand what they're doing now is not motivated because they love the Lord and love the church. He says, you've left your first love. You know, one good way to illustrate that is for a family, husband and wife, to go through all the motions, but love slip away. It's not what it ought to be. And when things come along, you can go through motions, but if you do not love your mate the way you ought to, it's much easier to step away and slip away. Go through the motions, do everything you ought to, but if you don't really and truly love, it won't be long until things won't be right in your life. And I promise you, when we go through motions and lose our love for the church, it will not be long till we won't even be going through the motions. That's what the Bible is telling us in these verses. You know, they were still doing things right, but not because of love. The first step toward leaving our first love is to dread our service to God. The first step into apostasy is to begin to dread doing what I ought to do in service to God. What did Paul say in Romans 12, beginning verse number 1? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What's he said? Make your service as it ought to be. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Give your all. Love the church. Go about doing those things that God will have us do. Brethren, it is a serious, serious matter to leave our first love. Because to leave our first love, we have left our salvation. As I said, we may go through motions, but it does not please God if it's not born of a heart of love. There's so many things we could talk about the problem, but suffice it to say, he said to them, you are doing certain things, but you've left your first love. Now then, let's go on to our next point. What are some ways in which the departure is exhibited? What are some ways that it shows itself? Well, it begins when men begin to step away from the Word of God. Even though we may do things, when we begin to question and we begin to step back from the Word of God, then we are on our way to that apostasy. You know, we need to ask questions about authority. Good works may not have authority. Do you understand that, what I just said? Good works may not be authorized by the Word of God. For instance, is it a good thing to help the people in the hurricane disaster? And it's going to be good to help those on the other side, too, before long. It's a good thing. But should the church use the Salvation Army? What about the Christian Disaster Relief Fund? Oh, no authority for that. It's a good thing. It's a good work. But you see, there is no authority. And when we do not have authority for what we do, we're not pleasing to God, even though we are doing something. Why? Because we've left our first love. We have set aside His authority. And we're doing what we want to do in the way we want to do it, even though we are doing something. So, we look and we understand. We have to have authority for that which we do. Now, let me make this point too, brethren. I just mentioned a couple of things, the Disaster Relief Fund, and the point I want to make in this, what is the plan for the church to carry out these things? Well, it's to be under the oversight of an eldership. That is to carry on this work. The church is to have authority for what it does. We have gotten, listen carefully, in the church today, we have gotten away from that pattern. What do I mean? The Bible gives no authority for for boards of directors to direct the work of the church. It's not there. And we've got things in the brotherhood today that are in trouble because they have tried to go in that direction. Boards of directors. I knew of a congregation one time that some men came and made a proposal to them that there would be a board of directors which would poll the congregation, and then they would bring that to the eldership, and the eldership would make decisions and bring it back to the board, and then the board would present it to the congregation. Where's the authority? What are some ways that we begin to step away? You know, we need to be on guard. Elders do that. That's their responsibility, to feed the flock, to guard the flock, to watch over the flock. So we begin to experience this departure when we get away from the authority of the Word of God. When we begin to listen to those teachers who are teaching things that are contrary to the will of God, men with false doctrine cause many to leave their first love. Men who come along and they espouse their false doctrine, and people follow it, they cause people to leave their first love. And not only that, not only they cause a congregation to leave their first love, it causes havoc throughout the body of Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you an example. Several years ago, at the Brown Trail congregation, a man named Dave Miller, he came up with an idea of the reaffirmation of an eldership. And I'm not going to try to go into all of that because I don't have time. But I want you to understand this. Concerning the reaffirmation, it had to do with this. On a given time, the congregation would take a vote to see if the elders stayed in office or not. It was enacted twice in that congregation. No authority. And it caused great problems. Still those problems in the area where we live. Well, let me go one step further with this man, because this man has been appointed director of Apologetics Press. There's a great problem going through the brotherhood because of that. Let me read you what he's taught about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. People have asked. He said, "No, I don't believe that. I have the CD." Here is the question on an open forum in 2000. The question is this: if two people get married to get citizenship papers, would they be married in God's sight? Answer: I do not believe they would be considered married biblically or from the dictionary perspective. That's a real case. Amen. From Jamaica, married a woman. Then later on, he decided he didn't want the woman, and he was going to divorce her. And he was given the permission from Dave Miller to divorce her and marry again. Why? Because he didn't intend to be married. He only got married to get citizenship papers. Well, first of all, that's a lie in and of itself. Because the Bible says, except it be for fornication. They were married. I wrote a letter and I asked the question, did they intend to be married? Did he intend to be married? Did he intend to be married to get his citizenship papers? Yes, he did. Then he was married. Well, let me go one more step with that. I understand that the lady that he married wanted to stay married. So what you've got is a man who is not married to a woman that is married. Brethren, this that I'm talking about is a burning fire within the church today. If it's not here, it will be. Because it's all over. And it's affecting preacher training schools, brotherhood papers. Lines are being drawn and people are standing aside, choosing up sides, and they're not coming to the truth. And they're not coming to one another. As Brother Bill said the other night, get some chairs at the table and sit down and talk. Amen. get this thing worked out so the church is not hurt. But I'm afraid that it's not going to take place. In many places today, brethren, the church is being guided and directed not by elderships, not by autonomy, but it's being guided and directed by preacher training schools, by brotherhood papers, by colleges, by lectureships. And somehow or another, we've got to get back on the right track. And that's coming back to authority. I'm thankful for this congregation, this lectureship. You know, in this lectureship, I don't have to have a lectureship to be invited to speak. But the very most of the lectureship, if you'll look, it's a trading out. Which, it's fine. I mean, I that's all right. But we need to come back to the Bible. Because we're not standing where we ought to be in these matters. And the church is being hurt. That's the problem. The church is being carried away. I want to give you three I's that's going to show what we're talking about when we talk about the ways of departure. There is ignorance, there is indifference, and there is involvement. Three things that will carry the church away from its first love. Number one is ignorance. And when I say that, I'm not using that term in a derogatory way. I'm just saying ignorance is the idea of not knowing. There's some people who never study the Bible. They don't understand. When I talk about authority and what an eldership is to do and how there is no authority for boards of directors, there is not authority for societies in the church, as it was several years ago, the Benevolent Society. There's no authority for that. But some people do not understand that authority for that work is within local congregations, not societies, not in boards of directors. Here is ignorance that people have. They don't know the Bible. You know, in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, we're told to study. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 15 through 17 tells us that God's breathed word will make a man complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. When you look at these things, there's the idea of just not knowing what truth is. The Lord said in Matthew 22, verse 29, ye do err not knowing the Scriptures. In Hosea 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Richard, would I be doing injustice to that passage by saying the church is destroyed for lack of knowledge? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Here is the idea of ignorance. We can know truth, John 8, verse 32. John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We go to the ignorance that people have. Some people just don't want to know what the truth of the matter is. They won't even look at the things we've talked about. Then there's indifference. What is that? Well, that's apathy. That's saying, that's not my concern. The error is not here. That's somebody else's problem. And that comes about because people want to have their ears tickled. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he told him to preach the word. Because there's going to come a time when men will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, will they heap themselves teachers having itching ears. We must not be like the church at Laodicea that became lukewarm. That's indifference. And then there's involvement. When I begin to participate with sinful things, there are people that I know today that stood against certain things in days gone by, but now they are involved in it because of fellowship. Because they are becoming involved with those kinds of things. Those things will carry the church away from the first love. We're to walk in the light. We're to mark them that cause division. We're to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And the church needs to evangelize. Well, my friend came too soon. The solution. I want you to look at the solution with me. And as someone said earlier, this may be the hardest command in all the Bible. because of pride, because of prejudice, because of friendships, because of lots of things. But when we look at the solution, look at verse number 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Repentance. We've got to turn away. Repentance involves remembering, renouncing, reformation, and returning to our first love. Repentance is an action, it's a work that we have to do. Luke 13:3-5, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. If you look at the text there in verse number 5, look at what he says. And somebody said to me, well, you've got to tolerate some things. You've got to let some things go along for a time frame. Brethren, I submit to you, sin has no time in the life of a Christian or in the body of Christ. Look at what he says in verse 5. He says there, or else I will come unto thee when I give 6 months or 9 months or a year. What's the word quickly mean? I will come quickly and remove thy candlestick. And brethren, it's a sad thing to think about that. Removal of the candle. That's a congregation. That's what he's talking about there. Let me read something to you. This came from a man named Farr. The material is titled The Life and Work of Paul. Here's what he said in Ephesus. Its candlestick has been for centuries removed out of its place. The squalid Mohammedan village, which is nearest to its site, does not count one Christian in its insignificant population. Its temple is a mass of shapeless ruins. Its harbor is a reedy pool. A bitter blooms amid its pestilent and stagnant marshes. And malaria reigns supreme over the place with a wealth of ancient civilization gathered around the seams of those degraded sins. Let me ask you a question. The church at Ephesus, the Lord warned them, you're doing something, you're working, but you're not doing it for the right reason. And because you're not doing it for the right reason, ultimately and finally, you will abandon God. You can't leave your first love without ultimately abandoning in time. Do you know of any congregations like this? Do you know any that in the past that were like that? Do you know any that's going in that same direction today? Do you think any changes need to be made in the church today? The Lord, the love for the Lord is essential. And our love for the church must stand supreme. And I'm going to say it one more time. Brethren, please, if I could get on my knees and plead and beg, you hear those that are on the internet, those that hear this lesson, please get up and go to work and save the body of Christ wherever you are, and never let it fall into disrepair. I want my children, my grandchildren, to enjoy the church. Thank you.